is now.
Capital 263.
Good. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Dion, and you are listening to Technology, the premium, the flagship, the technology podcast in Capital 263. Yes, you heard it here first. We're claiming it. Free to say it, free to do it. And yeah, welcome everyone back. And we're back. I'm joined, of course, by Gary Tindai, man, or the co-host, the fresh show, the cool guy, the funny guy, the well-informed guy, unlike the other guy. the best. Yeah, my name is Gary Tindai, man. Welcome back to another episode of Tech Knowledge.
Yeah.
And we're back. We're back with a bang. Okay, guys, so before we begin, Black Panther's coming out. Black Panther is coming out. I know you're surprised, like you don't even know what to say now. But yeah, Black Panther's coming out.
Yeah, Black Panther is really coming out. And I'm surprised to see that a lot of people are hyped up.
Lots of hype.
Because I think there are several reasons to this. I think, well, as Africa, we're hyped up because, well, it's
an African movie.
Yeah, it's Marvel's first take on basically on an African superhero. You know,
yeah.
They didn't do that with Storm. Blade is an American hero, even though he's African American.
There was a superhero on DC. I feel ashamed not knowing this. There was a superhero on DC who used to be. It wasn't really an African hero. It was African, but it was a fictional country. He featured on Young Justice. Or was it a villain? I'm not remembering one. But yeah, this is the first time, like, it's a proper hero based in Africa.
Yeah.
And everything, so
DC has a female character that's also based in Zambezi.
Yeah, some, like, fictional African country, right?
No, it's not even. Yeah, like, no, they say Zambezi is a, like, village of origin. But then, like, the rest is fictional. I'm forgetting her name. She has this other funny like necklace that allows her to summon spirits, like spirits of animals.
Oh, yes. Ah, no. I should know this. Oh my god.
The one who dresses in orange.
The problem is that the only is it Cheetah? No, it's not Cheetah.
I don't know. Some funny name.
I don't know if it's Cheetah.
But yeah,
let us know. We need to get educated on this.
But yeah.
Welcome back, guys. Another sorry to interrupt you, Gary, but like one more thing. So we're trying out this cool thing. We're going to break the show into recognizable segments that you can listen to, and hopefully we will give a little, like, you know, bookmarks and say, okay, if you want to listen about this thing, you can just skip to this part and get straight into it instead of having to, you know, listen to the whole thing and wait and whatnot.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's actually way simpler.
Straightforward.
But yeah, I'm really
innovating
excited.
In podcasts.
I'm really excited about Black Panther.
Black Panther.
Even the pre-sales. No, like the pre-sales. It has the highest, the most pre-sales and the current record for the most pre-sales for tickets for any superhero movie, regardless if it's DC or Marvel. And which is really impressive because DC and Marvel have really good stats when it comes to sales.
Yeah. I have something very opinionated to say about pre-orders and pre-sales, but then we'll get to that. So,
yeah.
Let's start with the first segment, the first inaugural segment. There we go. In the news. So, basically, all the news stories that are happening this week. Gary kind of always does this, but then it was never, like, official. So, we're going to just, like, officialize it and say, Gary.
Officiate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's... Yeah, officiate ties. Yeah.
Yeah, let's start.
Go, in the news.
I think you're the one who's hearing this.
Oh, it's me. I thought
yes.
It was... Okay, cool.
So, I obviously usually do this part, but then, like, you have the first story, which is what? Quenga.
That's right. So let's start with... So we didn't talk about this in our previous episode, which we should have.
We actually talked about Quenga.
We did?
Yes.
Huh. It's failing me. But yes, Quenga is Stewart Bank's solution to mobile point-of-sale machines. So then, if you need to swipe, lots of people use swipe these days in Zimbabwe. But then when you have certain services like Combis, you know, you go to vendors and these other small businesses, they can't really afford swipe machines because they cost $600, $700. But now, they brought up Quenga, which is a very, very cheap mobile point of sales machine, costs $35, and it means that you can get into your combi and swap it. Well, at least that's the idea.
Yeah, that's the idea, and this is really good. So it's really gonna be interesting when other like point of sale platforms reach Zimbabwe, like Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, and other. There's also Amazon, right? Which is really interesting because now, for the first time since forever, people or low income businesses have the chance to gain more customers and be able to transact with customers easily compared to how they used to do it before. Because back then, was it the swipe, or you don't have swipe, or you're using currency, of which in Zimbabwe, you know, currently with the whole economy,
let's call it the cash crisis.
Yeah, the cash crisis. It really proved difficult, and a lot of businesses kind of shut down because of that. But then this is really a nice take at it again. And I feel like Zimbabweans are going to utilize this. I wouldn't say fully, but then,
I think they will. I think they will. I personally think it will be very popular because of the fact that, like, people don't like carrying cash anymore.
Yeah, people don't like carrying cash.
Cash is just a problem.
No, I'm saying people might be hesitant at first. Still remember EcoCash?
Yeah, oh yeah, EcoCash.
The thing with Zimbabweans is that they tend to get cold feet. But then I really recommend this to anyone who doesn't like carrying cash, and yeah, it's a better alternative to the rest.
But think of it like this. We know that, you know, when you look at combis, for example, a lot of combis have this thing where their owners, when they buy a combi and they say, okay, I'm going to hire a driver and a conductor to like do their job, they expect that they'll do these amount of rides with these amount of people, like 15. Then, so they already calculate how much they expect from the driver. Like, we expect you to bring this amount every day, right? But combi drivers and conductors think, okay, fine, we can do that. Or we could add like 3 extra guys or 4 extra guys per ride, and then pocket $1 every ride. Then they make like extra income. But now with Kwenga, it's going to be difficult to do that. So a lot of owners of combis would want to use Kwenga, which would mean that, you know, we're going to see a lot of combis using Kwenga.
Yeah, but I also see, this is what I see happening. Obviously, this is what I see happening. I see combis being cheaper if you pay in cash, and slightly being more expensive if you pay using Kwenga.
I didn't think of that, but yeah, that's true.
Because,
that's
well, happening. Cash allows them to gain more cash instead. Yeah, and they cut more corners with it. Unlike Kwenga. But then this is really interesting because we're going to... If this
that sort of two-tier paying kind of thing that we already have with EcoCash and cash, where there's a price in cash, then there's a price for EcoCash.
Like, if this goes according to Kwesi's plan, we're going to see sales and businesses go up. And business is really going to start booming if this goes according to plan. Like, yeah. We're going to see this get applied almost everywhere. Or it's going to be a terrible fail. But then, considering that Econet has launched side businesses and side partnerships, like Econet owns
Stewart Bank has
connections with Kwesi.
500,000 users at this point. Are they users or clients? They have 500,000 clients at this point.
Yeah.
Which makes them already one of the biggest banks in the country.
Yeah. Plus, then they're launching this platform, which is going to make it easier.
Just before we leave it, like, there's this one interesting thing. Apparently, it turns out that NMB Bank were the first bank in the country to actually introduce this idea of like a cheap mobile point of sales machine. They actually were piloting it for a few months before Kwenga came out. And now, because of the fact that Stewart Bank went out and had this whole huge like marketing campaign to say, guys, Kwenga, Stewart Bank and everything, we know about Kwenga. But we have no idea about NMB. I don't even know what the machine is called.
This could be just Econet. This is just another case of Econet stealing something from under the rug.
Yeah, they steal it and then after they make it much better. You know, EcoCash is
It was somebody else's idea, I know.
Yeah, in Kenya, was it, or Tanzania? In East Africa, Vodacom started, and it was called M-Pesa, which is basically mobile cash. Then EcoCash stole it.
Well, I mean, you know.
Good artists create great artists still. Next story. WhatsApp Business is now open to Zimbabwe. We've talked about this 2 episodes ago. And I don't know if people in WhatsApp are listening to our show or something, because it's now officially in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
WhatsApp Business is officially in Zimbabwe. And this is really interesting. Lately, we've been seeing more business tools coming to Zimbabwe, like becoming available in Zimbabwe. For example, Kwenga, and now we have WhatsApp Business. I don't really know how people in Zimbabwe are going to be using it, but we already stated how you can use it to advertise your own business and your brand and everything. And it's going to be showing that this message is coming from a business, what from a business account and everything.
It took them less than a month to move from, you know, like opening it for like 7-8 countries in the West and Asia. Then after that, they were like, boom, it's in Africa, because it's in Zimbabwe, but it's also in like Nigeria, Kenya, and many other African countries. So
this
yeah,
it's really interesting.
Fascinating.
We might actually start using this. I don't know. I'm going to look into it when I get home.
We should totally do that.
Yeah, and tell us what you think about this.
Will you be using WhatsApp Business? Are there any businessmen listening to the show?
Yeah. But then, like, all right, before we go further, the uses of this advertising and everything, and how you're going to be able to tell apart from, let's say, fake accounts, is saying that over time, I don't know if the official accounts are now have like these marks or, I don't know, verification statuses. But then, like, over time, original accounts are going to be verified, so it's going to be easier to tell if an account is fake or not, thus preventing people from being exploited. But then I definitely still see people somehow exploiting this and making extra cash from this platform.
Yeah, we already have a big problem with spam in WhatsApp. I learned 3 interesting things with this whole story. First of all, that this whole WhatsApp Business is only available on Android right now. They've not opened it for iOS yet, which shows that like this thing is mainly for developing markets and like stuff like that. And then another thing is that in Zimbabwe, this is not something that's interesting. It's interesting, but it's not like something you wouldn't expect. Zimbabwe's internet traffic, nearly half of it is on WhatsApp alone. Half of our internet is WhatsApp.
Wow.
Nothing else.
In half, Zimbabwe.
50%.
In Zimbabwe.
Yes.
This is sad.
That is just, yeah, I mean, well.
No, well, yeah. It's good for WhatsApp, but then it's really terrible, or just a sign that we still need to develop in terms of our internet services. Yeah. We still have a long way to go, because half of all the internet traffic in Zimbabwe is WhatsApp. Okay, that means people, very few people are streaming. So it means like the rest of the internet is literally a niche thing for Zimbabwe.
It's like a niche market.
It's a niche market for Zimbabwe. Because, wow, really bad. Or maybe it just shows how much Econet and Telcel and Tel1 have monopolized WhatsApp with these WhatsApp bundles and everything.
Exactly. And I think finally, the most interesting part is that Zimbabwe is one of the few countries in Africa that actually has this kind of information. Like, to know that it's actually a very rare thing in Africa.
Well, I don't guess.
That's a good thing. At least we have something to celebrate. So, props to us. Yes.
But that's still terrible. Anyways, it's like knowing that something bad is happening and other countries are like, well, we don't know that. And we're celebrating it. But hey, it's better knowing than not knowing.
Yeah, it's first step.
Yeah. What else?
Do you have anything else?
Oh, yeah. So this week, I think people, well, most of you are aware of this. Like the official S9 visuals have leaked. Like on several platforms, obviously Chinese websites. I'm not saying our Asian brothers do anything wrong, but then like usually smartphones leak that side before anything.
Yeah.
The iPhone 10, the iPhone 8, now the S9.
Thailand, you know, those kind of, like, Thailand especially, like Thailand and
Malaysia. Then like, wow, the like now at first I was just like, these leaks are not legit. But then after Dbrand, you know Dbrand?
The leaker.
The company that makes custom skins for phones.
No, I haven't heard of them, no.
You haven't
Nope.
Have you ever seen anyone with an iPhone, but then
the skins at the back?
The skins.
I know the skins, I didn't know the company that made them.
Yeah, it's called Dbrand. Anyways, those guys apparently already have a page written customized with S9 with S9 skins. Which basically confirms the way it looks. And
oh dear.
It's an offi- like this is a legit business company. Like legit. It's not one of those shady ones.
I know, yeah, Dbrand.
Because they actually have partnerships with these companies.
So they probably got insider information and they were a bit lax with it, in other words.
Yeah, I don't know how Samsung is gonna deal with this since we're like a month away, like less than a month away from the official unveiling of their smartphone. How they're gonna deal with this, because it's gonna be unveiled on the 26th. Of February.
Yes, I heard on that. We talked about that in the previous episode.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to deal with that. But it's really interesting to see that the official smartphone is there. And it looks good, yeah. And yeah. They also showed, like, also a list of all the Samsung devices that leaked out. Also came out with, like, code names. At least the code names for the phones. Like, Star 2, which is the S9. And S9 Plus, the Star, which is the... is. I don't know what Lugnite or Kelly Light or Jackpot Light 2 is, or Jackpot P Light is, but then those are code names for other smartphones that are coming out. We also have the A10, Tab 10.1, the Tab E, the Tab S4, the J2, J3, J6.
You're making a new tablet.
J8. Yeah, no, like the Tab 10.1, they always make those. Then we also have the Samsung Crown, which is the code name for the Samsung Note 9. And the rumor is, judging from how, like, this, as much as the Samsung S9 is really a powerful phone, they kind of still played it safe. And the rumor is Samsung is going all out with the Note 9.
That's interesting, because they've always seen the Note 9 as their flagship phone.
Yeah, the
even
S9.
Though people more think the S9 and the S whatever.
Yeah, but the S9 is, they always go all out with the Note series, if you've noticed.
So yeah, we'll be looking at that closely and seeing if they're worth it or will they explode or whatever. And that's the end of In The News. Stay in touch for Burning Topic.
Don't see the way explode or anything. But yeah. With the burning topic, which is the main point of discussion.
Oh, what a segue, dude. What a segue. Burning topic, freaking exploding S9, I mean, exploding Note 9s. You know, they all link together.
But anyways, the burning topic of today, which is really something that's controversial and it's sort of underground on the internet.
So much fun. So exciting. The technology just keeps going forward.
I like how I really like how the internet uses technology. All right. So people came up with super creative AI, and AI that can learn human behavior. Instead of using it for scientific research, what did people do? We made sex robots. People.
We made sex robots. Oh yeah. We talked about the cancer curing thing. That how come we're not curing cancer?
Yeah.
It turns out that they actually found a one-time vaccine to cure cancer in mole rats. Mm. So yeah, we're actually seeing progress there at least. Whilst we make fully fledged working sex robots that are in the market within 5 years of production, cancer research is going a step further.
While Zimbabwe banned them. No more sex robots for you, because Zimbabwe put in place laws that really just ban sex robots and everything. But anyways, we're not talking about sex robots.
I wonder what ministry did that.
I don't know. There was an article that I read earlier. But then, today we're actually here to talk about something else. So, the internet has found another way to use science for interesting reasons. Alright, so there's other... What algorithm is? All right,
TensorFlow. It uses TensorFlow.
All right, so Google's created to the AI for learning research purposes and everything called TensorFlow.
So if you heard about the whole story of a chess computer beat the chess master in three moves, or like the AlphaGo story where it beat an AlphaGo professional, the best AlphaGo player, that was TensorFlow.
Yeah.
And now,
like self-driving cars, TensorFlow.
That's also TensorFlow. All these great things it's being used
for. That I use. But then, like, a Reddit user by the name of Deepfakes chose to use TensorFlow for other reasons. So basically, this guy found a way of using TensorFlow to make super realistic virtual porn. Well, you might not understand this.
No, Gary. You see, when you advertise it like that, it sounds horrible. That's how you're supposed to sell it. You're supposed to say, he managed to use super, super intelligent AI to make artificial renditions of videos with different faces plastered on them, so that we can have fantastic memes like Nicolas Cage in random movies. See? Now that sounds like a good thing.
Well, but it's not. That's the thing is, you could use it for that. But people are not using it for that.
Why do we always have to go to the bad things? Appreciate the great stuff we can do with technology.
Right.
I'm going to use this app so that I can put your face on movies like Snakes on a Plane. Imagine, Gary, you were on Snakes on a Plane. You see how cool that would be?
You could literally just... Alright, so then people...
Well, that's it. Like, there's nothing much. It's basically AI. Someone, you have lots of pictures of someone's face. You put those pictures onto the application. You find a video of a subject, like a person. And then after that, all you have to do is just press a button and it will automatically just use it to create the video. Then the video will now look like the pictures of that person's face was on the actual video. It will be moving. It will look realistic. It is surprisingly and scarily realistic.
All right. So celebs like who else?
Gal Gadot was Wonder Woman.
Emma Watson.
You don't know about Emma Watson?
I know Emma Watson, the one from Harry Potter. Hermione.
Yes.
I know it's Hermione.
Daisy Ridley from Star Wars.
Yeah, Daisy Ridley from Star Wars.
The new Star Wars. So these are some of the female celebrities who've been like.
All right, so basically,
hurt by this thing,
since these people are celebrities, there are like tons of pictures of them online.
Yeah.
And the thing is about this software, people don't actually have to render it themselves. And the thing is, rendering has always been something.
Listen, people, you can actually do this. If you had the time, you could do this. You don't need any, you just need to know how to use a computer.
You don't need a high-end PC for this.
You don't need a high-end PC either.
Because the thing is, like, in the past, rendering has been done on these super high-end machines and everything.
Ooh, I have an example for that. You know Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah.
It takes 29 frames to record per month.
Wow. To render it per month.
Yeah. No, per hour, sorry. Not
wow.
29 frames per hour, sorry.
Ooh, that was... To render 29 frames per hour. That is
still crazy because...
How
many frames
long.
Does a movie have?
Wow. Like...
Millions.
Hundreds of... Yeah, exactly.
Could even have millions.
Yeah. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions. The thing is...
One just takes like... It doesn't need anything. Like, you have a normal computer. You have internet access. You have enough pictures. You get a good video.
You feed the pictures to the software and it creates the like a render, 3D render of the people, of the person. Like, an actual 3D render of the face and the head. And people have been merging and rendering these photos and pictures with videos.
Pornographic videos.
I was looking for a way.
No, it's pornographic videos. Like
pornographic videos. Okay.
Porn. Yeah.
I've been rendering this with.
You know what's going on?
Videos of adults.
2018 has been absolutely weird. Like every episode we've done that's not an interview has just been about like weird things, like sex dolls, freaking deep fakes and stuff. And it's not like we're like seeking these things out. This is what's actually like trending in tech right now.
And to make matters worse, the person who made this is actually planning on making it fully public for people and he doesn't see it as something that's bad. And to make matters worse for celebrities that are targeted with this, well, the thing is, the concern that's been raised right now is that as much as people are using it for porn right now, what if people decide to use it for more?
Now, that's when I looked at the politics side of this, because you could easily use it to implicate someone in some sort of political storm. What scared me about this whole thing, because I remember when you first showed me this video, was it the GIF of Gal Gadot? I was just like, ooh, this is scary. But then I was like, ah, this will pass, because obviously she wouldn't be doing this, and it's clear, and everyone will know that this is fake. Then I saw a video of Barack Obama that scared the living crap out of me. I'll try and find a link. So the guy it's a video of Barack Obama. You know those typical videos back in the day, he used to just speak, you'd be like in front, behind, like in the White House, and he'll just be talking. And I'll be like, normal video, he's probably said this. Then it said, oh yeah, he's never said this before. Then they moved it to the side, and then the audio was from a press conference that he had. Then the actual video was just, they basically did the fake app thing on his face, on his mouth, and his mouth movements were accurate to the audio. So they basically faked what he said. They even took a video from him talking in 1990, and then put like the modern day video, and it you could not make a difference. That to me was the scariest part.
This is why I'm really concerned about technology and where it's currently going, because the thing is, now people are concerned about political figures being targeted, people creating fake evidence, rendering fake evidence. Like, obviously you've seen stuff like this being used before, such as renderings of fake of actors that have passed away. Like what? Who else? That guy who passed away. The first series.
Oh, Paul Walker.
Paul Walker, for example, Paul Walker. But then that was like the older ones, and this is like newer and improved. And the thing with it is that as time goes on, it's getting better and better, which is even more concerning for people.
It is. I mean, like, it's one of those things where you ask, like, what happens next? If you could just make any video look super realistic, then what is real now? Yeah, what can be used as evidence and what can't?
If anything can be real, what is real? That's the question.
Yeah,
now.
That is the question.
Because people have literally been creating things, putting your face, your voice and everything. So at the end of the day, it becomes you. And how is a person that doesn't know that this is fake gonna be able to tell it apart? And to make matters worse, people, the internet ever so creative, is now using this for revenge porn.
That was always where it was going to, revenge porn. Like, take a picture of your ex, and then after that, or take pictures of your ex. You can get pictures on like Instagram, and then boom, get a video, get this app, and then now you have revenge porn, and like, you can threaten people with it and everything. And like, where is the limit? Like, where are we going with this?
Well, this is the place that we are. And yeah, AI 2018 in February, people are using AI to make porn.
Well,
I think that's there.
I'm trying to think of like a way to redeem this, but the only way I can redeem this is by Nicolas Cage videos. I mean, there's a brilliant video of him on, what's that video? The Miley Cyrus one, Wrecking Ball. That's fantastic.
This is really depressing.
Or this Saturday Night Live skits that they do. There's one way they replace everyone's face with Nicolas Cage. It is absolutely hilarious. There's no audio, but it's just the funniest thing.
But this is really depressing.
Let us know what you think, guys. Are you as pessimistic and Orwellian as Gary is? Do you think that the world is coming to an end? Do you think this is the mark of the end times, and this is the kind of stuff we should be destroying with everything? Should we start afresh? Or are you positive like me and think, things always get this way and everything will be great one day?
Alright, I wouldn't really say that the world is coming to an end, but I'm really concerned with the direction the world is going right now.
I mean, well, dude, we did go from a world, we once upon a time went the direction of nuclear weapons, so I think we'll be fine.
we'll be fine, I guess.
That's a great way to end a segment, nuclear weapons. So that's burning topic, people. And yeah, the burn has fizzled out, and or maybe not, because we're getting into another very controversial segment that might interest you or might not, and that's called video games. Oh, well, we can think of a better name, right? Stay tuned. Doo-doo-doo.
The way I actually say "stay tuned" is weird.
Yeah, man, you gotta make it like it's like, you know, hyping up. And welcome back. We are absolutely back, and we're not gonna talk about. I want to call it video games. Have you heard of that whole thing? Video games.
Video
like,
games.
Not video,
nah.
Like video. Video.
Nah.
It's like a colloquialism where people would be like, you're these kids playing on their video games. Kind of thing. Like, yeah.
No, I've heard of Bob's and Wagner.
Bob's and... No, it's Bob's and Virgin. We will not explain what that means. Now, going on to the gaming segment, there's two main stories that I want to talk about today, and it's... We're going to keep talking about Nintendo because Nintendo keep doing good things, and something about the company that makes Grand Theft Auto, so stay tuned for that. But first, Nintendo releasing Mario Kart on iOS and Android.
So, last year, I think we also talked about this, whereby Nintendo was planning on making more mobile-centered games.
Yes.
Games, or expanding some of their titles and going to games. And so, Nintendo is now bringing Mario Kart to the mobile platform, which is really interesting because it's a fan favorite. I feel like everyone has played Mario Kart at some stage in their life. If you haven't, wow, your life sucked. But yeah,
we still love you, listeners.
They're now bringing Mario Kart to Android and iOS.
And what I'm happy about the most about this is the fact that they're not doing this whole nonsensical iOS exclusive whatever that lots of producers and developers have been doing recently, where they say, oh, we will release our great game, like Pokemon Go. They released it first on iOS, and then it took a very long time before it came on Android, which, like, it's like, dude, like, you know, Android development is pretty much, like, super easy, and it's as good as iOS, but then, you know, these preferences and whatnot, man.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't really like how people try to heavily monetize mobile gaming compared to other platforms of gaming. That's the thing. Games have more, way, way more microtransactions than other platforms of gaming. Like,
but it's because
way more...
it's free, at least. Like, I understand that if you buy a game for free and then after that you have to pay for microtransactions, that makes sense. Like, at least that's like a form of income. But then compare that to like saying, oh, look, I bought this game for $60. Now I have to buy loot boxes worth $20. And then I have to buy this for $50.
But then the thing is, some of the games, you actually have to buy them to be able to play them. And to make matters worse, now you have to pay more for that game, which really sucks.
Now that sucks. I agree with you. That sucks. But hopefully, do you think Mario Kart will come with like microtransactions or not? What kind of microtransactions?
I don't really know about this.
I have a feeling what they will do is that they'll have Mario and they'll have Luigi. Then they'll just say something like, I don't know, to access Princess Peach, pay 99 cents. Or have 1 million coins. And then every race you win, you get 5 coins. You know, that kind of thing.
I really hope that they don't take that way. I feel like they should just take like a multiplayer type of point of view. And like make it fair to win. Like, just don't screw this up.
Okay, but I think if they just had three things. What if they did this? I think this is an interesting compromise. They had a very good multiplayer thing that, you know, a bunch of people with different phones, iOS, Android, they just go ahead and connect to each other and play a game of Mario Kart. That would be absolutely fun, right? Then as a single player, you can just have a simple race. Then the story mode is probably just going to be riddled with microtransactions.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I think that would be great. I would be okay with that.
But at this point, I just hope that they do this fair. They don't really mess it up. Because the thing is, they already, as much as, what was it? Pokemon Go died quickly. It was really
good. Pokemon died. Like, the way it just died. Like, it is like, I remember everyone was talking about it for such a long time. And then it just, all of a sudden, just went.
But then it's apparently there's people, a lot of people still play it in Asia. The Asian market. Yeah. The Asian market doesn't give a shit about the rest of the world. They just do their own thing.
They just decide why not.
They just do their own thing. But yeah, I really hope that they're able to just play this well.
Yeah, just be fair. Don't.
If this goes out and is a success story, we could potentially see other Nintendo exclusives like Metroid and everything coming to the Android and iOS.
I'd love to have a Zelda game on Android. That'll be cool.
Hopefully.
And another game coming out this year. Does it even count to say this year? Because it's like it's so far away. Like they announced it in February, but then it's coming out in October. And yes, people, we're talking about Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, about that.
Great game. I liked Red Dead Redemption 1. I didn't really play it as much, but I did have a few hours of it. Really good game.
Red Dead was one of those games that really got to me. Especially the DLC, the one with the zombies. I liked that one. Was it the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, whereby you had like the Lamento horses and everything. I really loved that one. And it was a really good game. Because at the time, there were a few games that were really trying to do the like old school Western cowboy genre, but then they were really failing to do it per se. There was like Call of Juarez. Then there was that other one, Total Overdose, I think, at the time. But then none of them were that good. Then like we saw Rockstar doing a really good game and making a really great game, and I'm really excited about this one, though it's been delayed, and Rockstar is currently saying that they're doing this so that they get to polish the game up.
But I'm glad, actually, in the sense that, like, we don't want rushed game. People always complain about, the game was rushed, and
yeah,
Rockstar now saying, you know what, screw it, you guys always complain about rushed games, now we'll delay the game a bit so that it comes out, like, perfect, and they won't have an excuse if it comes out buggy.
Yeah, like we've seen games like this stuff like this happen in the last year. I mean, look at Mass Effect Andromeda. That one was really terrible. That game was so terrible that it got BioWare dissolved, and basically they cut all the DLC and plans for it. And we're not going to see that game for a very long time, and which really sucks because I really enjoyed the three previous games.
Mass Effect was great.
Mass Effect 3. People hated it. It was such a great game compared to other games. Like, even if you take other games, it was really...
Mass Effect 2 was just on another level.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2 was solid. It was solid. That's the thing.
Solid gameplay. The storyline was a bit convoluted, but like,
That's the thing. Wait, this is the thing. Mass Effect 3 was terrible by Mass Effect standards. But by regular game standards, it was a great game.
Yeah.
You see, that's the thing. And I really hope that... Rockstar North doesn't really get lazy or take the EA way of things.
I don't think so. I don't think Rockstar's about that, because their base of how they profit isn't by any of these scammy ways. They basically profit from this whole like long term goodness of their game. Like GTA 5, people are still buying it today.
Yeah, and they're releasing more and more DLC. Yeah, like more online DLC for it. And that's the other thing
that's how they make their money.
That's the other thing that people are concerned about. As soon as Grand Theft Auto 5 came out, it got a lot of online content. And the content is solid. It's really great. And it keeps people coming back. That's why even though GTA released originally, what, in 2012? End of 2012?
What game?
GTA 5. End of 2013. Is it
end of 2013 somewhere then. Late
2013. 2014, 2015, 16, 17, 18. And it's still selling for $59 99. Unless there's a sale. And you can get it for like what? $25 when there's a sale, which is 50% off. Nothing more than that. Nothing more than that. This is why they're really good with the games. But
how much can you get like FIFA 13 or FIFA 14 right now?
I don't know, $10.
You can get it for like $5 on Origin.
That's the thing. And people are concerned that as much as Rockstar is good with the games, the only reason why their games are really like keeping so much value, is that they're taking the games as a service approach. It's really good because your game, you're gonna enjoy your game. But then from a single player perspective, somebody who doesn't want multiplayer and anything, it's concerning, because the thing is, GTA 5 is a really great game, but it never got any single player DLC. All the DLC they got, it was online. So now people are concerned.
No.
People are concerned that since the last Red Dead Redemption was known for such a great single player solo gameplay, they're worried that they might take the GTA 5 approach to this game.
Yeah, well, you know, I wish we had more time, because I really want to have a good conversation about that, because there's so much to talk about regarding that. Because then there's Paradox. Have you heard of Paradox Interactive?
Yeah.
They have games as a service sort of system going on, but it actually works really well with the community. They love it.
Unlike EA.
And everything, and it, you know, these tight knit. Like, yeah, I have so many arguments, but then sadly we are out of time, and this is where we'll have to call it a day and a week, and the point where I say thank you for listening. I wish we could talk more, but we can't. Yeah. So yes, thank you for listening, everyone. We hope you enjoy this podcast, and we will be back very soon. Very, very soon. We hope you enjoyed this part. I am Dion, the host. You can find me on Twitter at I am Dion Spring. Do not ask me why. You can also find the podcast on Facebook and Twitter. That's at Technology FM. We've got a lot of stuff coming up soon that we're working on, and we will update you on those. Gary, where can they find you?
You can also find me on Instagram. My name is Hugo the Slum God. Or you can find our Instagram page, which is Technology Podcast.
That's right. So don't forget to like, follow, subscribe.
Or you can give us on iTunes at Technology.
Yes, that's technologists. Look for Technology. We're under Capital 263. And on that note, Capital 263 has a lot of fantastic podcasts. If you're interested in furthering your career, try CareerPod. It's a podcast about careers. And, you know, if you don't know where you want to go, if you just graduated high school and you're wondering, what should I do with my life? Maybe you should give that a listen. You might have some thoughts and everything. Thank you for listening, and peace out.
Capital 263.